You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Journey through 58 years now of American history and the tumultuous decades of the 40s, 50s, and 60s straight through to the 21st century. That history has a narrator, you might say.
For the first winter in history, the papers print a daily half page of television programs.
Aren't you two forgetting something?
Oh, you build in.
After the fight, it was a mystery why Liston went down.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
There was suddenly a banging repetition of a sound that I don't know how to describe.
Neighborhood.
The gentle,
peace.
Authoritative, and very British voice of writer and BBC personality Alistair Cook there, who wrote a weekly letter from America to BBC listeners back home right up until his death in 2004. Our friend and author Alvin Hall spent some time in the BBC archive to explore what Cook got right and what Alistair Cook got wrong about the America he so loved. Alvin, first of all, it's great to have you back here for the holidays.
I'm glad to be back here.
And listen for a moment. It's hard to remember, but it is in fact the case that for, gosh, I guess 58 or so Christmases?
58.
Part of the narration around the holidays included the quiet voice of this fellow.
And so now there he is, everywhere at once, outside department stores, inside shops, lunch counters, on the telly, the most magical of childhood fantasies. And in this city, anyway, many of them are graduates of a school for Santa Claus is up the Hudson, where portly old men apply themselves and graduate from such courses as Greeting the Child, Problems of Denial, Father Substitute or Father Rival, one class in Personal Cleanliness in the Role of Santa Claus. Nowadays, more than delicately stresses the role of sobriety after a run of years some time ago when too many Santa Clauses at twilight were taking a swig from a flask and voicing W.C. Fields' complaint. Somebody has been putting pineapple juice in my pineapple juice.
Alistair Cook there telling a story in one of his Letters from America, one of the longest-running radio series there has ever been, in this particular case, his words around the holidays. You set off on a particularly interesting re-exploration of Cook's mission and his voice and his character. What was it like, first of all, to hear that story once again and then to go explore some of the places that he actually visited?
To hear the Christmas story reminds me of his love for New York City. He came here and he was entranced by this city, and he always tried to present it in the best light, even when he was discussing things like traffic jams or some of the odd habits of New Yorkers. But when I read the book Letter from America when it was published about 3 years after his death in 2007, I became intrigued by various themes that came up again and again and again. Immigration was one of them, the American dream, certain social events. So part of my journey was to go across America, and we didn't make it as far as I wanted to see how the themes that he talked about on his radio series over the years had changed and whether or not he was accurate in some of his observations.
Well, you know, being a lover of New York and a lover of America set him as something of a sophisticate talking back to the folks in London. But in historical terms, it is important that he get it right. Listen to this.
If the defiance of the South Bostonians wins out, then the prospect elsewhere for forced busing will be very dim. It comes down in the end, and the end may be nearer than we think, to the galling question of whether any body of whites can be forced in a democracy to do something that rouses all their most belligerent instincts.
Alistair Cook there speaking back in 1974 about the busing crisis that was part of the civil rights struggle in the United States. Did Alistair Cook get that right in your view?
No. I think that Alistair in that was really reflecting the white culture's belief at that time. He did not consider the desires or goals of the black people in America during that period of time. But if you look through the entire series of all the letters, you discover that black people are frequently missing.
So he's blinded by his cultural background and where he chose to be in America. He's not deliberately avoiding a particular subject because no. It seems to me that he would be surrounded by African Americans in the 1970s.
But where he lived in New York and the social milieu that he became a part of, there was a lot of denial going on and very specific types of conversations going on. My favorite one remains the one for Watts, where he says that young blacks were envious of the trappings of wealth of white Americans. That was the pervasive rich person's point of view. In reality, the poor black people in America at that time were enraged by the gains made by middle-class blacks. But that's something and a point of view that he would never have seen or heard of.
So you go to some of the places referred to in the letters. Here's what you come up with on your BBC series, which aired this year.
Yes.
In going back to see exactly what it was that Alistair Cook might have missed in his explorations of America, in this case, Boston.
I always found the situation in Boston so fascinating because the vitriol was so deep. It was as if the people wanted to forget that there were once signs that said, no niggers, dogs, or Irish permitted. And South Boston was largely Irish. So you would think that those people would be much more sympathetic. I lived in Boston during that period of time, and I can tell you it was difficult. Those people were angry in ways that you would expect to see only in the deepest, darkest part of the South. And I found his explanation both realistic but unsatisfying for me.
And for Americans, it was discovering that civil rights was a struggle not just for the South. I mean, the explosion in Boston really nationalized the civil rights movement and turned the northern white liberal mentality inward for the first time.
Absolutely. And I think Alistair came to it disturbed by busing, really frightened, if not nervous, by the anger that he saw. But I think one of the limits of where he was socially in America and his exposure to a diverse group of people, everyday people in America in particular, limited what he could say and observe. I don't think it was wrong, but I think the whole series of letters reflects his point of view and his journey getting to know and love America.
So maybe it should have been called The Education of Alistair Cook, not Letter from America.
I think that's a good point. And I think you can go through those letters and see how he evolved over the years. And occasionally he would say, I got it wrong.
Author and of late BBC personality Alvin Hall. He'll be back with us tomorrow for the second part of his series looking at the Letters from America series from Alistair Cook. We're looking at the culture of irony, and we're asking, is sincerity dead? Is it out of style? What's the problem with sincerity or irony? Jane writes on our Facebook page, no, sincerity is not dead for those who value it, practice it, and live it. Do you agree? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can chime in on our annual Remixing the Holiday series as well. We talked with George Takei. I actually sang with him. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.